Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on the Catch Up.
For the Hospital Research Home Lottery.
104.7 Triple M.
612, Ruined It's, all thanks to the Hospital Research Home Lottery, which is sold out. But I see where you can register, Roo. You can be a member so that next year you get in first.
Yeah, and you get your tickets sent to you.
You won't miss out.
No, exactly right.
The things making news around the world and locally, Roo. Corey Bernardi, 24 hours after the fact, it turns out, has not won any friends at all. It seems there's nobody has come out in support of him. And I want to go back to the discussion we had yesterday, and I actually feel quite strongly about this now, the more I've thought about it. He actually needs to resign. He needs to step down and get out of there.
Yeah, but he's not going to do that.
Well, he should. And there's mounting pressure. Prime Minister asked him to resign. A lot of other people are asking him to resign.
Yeah, every Liberal person's asking to resign.
What about the question that Malcolm Turnbull apparently put to him in their phone conversation? And it's a very good question. 7 months ago, you were elected in for 6 years. How can you change your mind like that in 7 months? It just goes against,
change the rules then. It's ridiculous rules, aren't they, really?
Yeah.
If they can do it. You made the point yesterday, and who were you interviewing? They agreed with you.
Chris Kenny.
It's got to change. It's not right. Liberals are in trouble for it.
And if you're whether you're Liberal or Labor, if you're a Labor voter and you voted someone in, and then a couple of months later they change, well, it's not the person you voted in. Similar in this case. Huh. If you're a Liberal voter,
I want to
vote this bloke in.
I think everyone agrees. He hasn't made any friends, but I think he knew that was going to happen anyway, and he's prepared for it. And good luck to him.
Very selfish thing to do, isn't it?
Well, he's probably fairly annoyed with what's happening with the Liberals. That's why he's done it, I suppose. That's what he would have said to Big Mao. He would have said, well, I'm leaving because I don't like what you're doing. No, that doesn't make it right, but that's what he would have said. So more headaches for the Liberal Party.
Now, speaking of politicians, this is good news as well. See, they talked about phasing out the Gold Pass travel system. Well, they're actually going to abolish it very, very quickly. It's going to be phased out real fast. Some politicians up in arms that they're going to lose their travel rorts.
Yep.
But this is a good thing.
Yeah, look... It's interesting. I would much rather politicians be paid more up front and less for the rest of their life, so they can get their money, whatever the amount they're supposed to be, or whatever they deserve to get while they're working, and then take away all the perks. As soon as they're out, they're out, like anyone else.
Mm.
You go on to your next career or do whatever. They've taken the flights away. I think it's going to save the Australian taxpayers about, I think it's $5 or $7 million a year. It's not huge money, but it all counts.
It's just the unfairness of the scheme as well. It's just an entitlement that seems unfair, I think.
It's been in since 1908.
Yeah, but it doesn't make it right. Well, I put this to you before, Roo, and I'd like to be on this committee. Every politician that says, I need to go on a study tour of, Silicon Valley or something, I reckon they should put in a submission to a committee, and the committee either deems it to be a worthy trip or just a rort and a junket.
Yep.
And that's how case by case basis.
Any decent business has someone in that position where they have to justify the expenditure. And
if Jay Weatherall says, which he did, I need to go to Finland and look at nuclear waste.
Yep.
Good. I understand that fully. Yep.
Approve the trip
and report back. But as I said, these politicians that
go to the Gold Coast to have a look at your apartment you're about to buy.
Yeah, probably won't get that one through. Yeah. No, well, that's how it should be.
Well, they're sick of the rorting going on, I suppose. So well done. That's a start. And a little story on page 3, Dits, for the cat owners out there. If you're not aware of how far or what your cat is up to, they have put some cat trackers out there and put a GPS on a few cats. In fact, they've done it to 428 cats over a couple of years, and when lights are out, the cats aren't. They're out playing, and do they cover some ground? Up to 30 hectares some of these cats cover at night.
In one night?
Going over lots of main roads, getting into blues, catching up with some friends. Getting up to all sorts of mischief. No wonder when they're at home, they just sit around and look like they're tired. They've done a marathon at night, had a blue, had a cuddle, come back for a feed and a rest.
Gee, they stack a lot into their lives, don't they?
Well,
when they say a cat has 9 lives, bloody needs it.
Yeah, well, if you have a look at the GPS on page 3, it looks like when they show all the runs after a cricketer's made 100 with all the lines, the cat's gone everywhere.
The cat's wagon wheel.
So that's interesting, actually. Some councils, I didn't know this, some councils have a curfew, a nighttime curfew for cats. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah. So your cat's not allowed to go out and cruise around the streets.
Yeah.
Lights out.
Yeah, right. Obviously,
a few people would like lights out in a different way for a few cats too, for what they get up to. But anyway.
It does beg the question, though, why have a pet cat? Now, all the cat lovers out there, please, I'm just throwing it out there. If you have a dog, it sits at your feet and you pat it and it loves you.
Dogs do go walk loyal too.
Oh, not
as much as a
not
cat.
Not like that.
No.
No.
Anyway.
All right.
So if you see a cat out in the road when you're driving.
Could be 30 hectares from home.
Could be a long way from home.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M. I only have time for one breakfast show. Ruined Dits for breakfast.
The Governor-General has accepted my advice.
The Prime Minister, Malcolm Big Mal Turnbull.
Righto, Roo, let's get the top man on. Geez, had a tough week too. Big Mal, good morning.
Good morning to you, Dits, and hello to you, Roo. Hello to everybody in Adelaide. I always enjoy talking to you guys, two of my favourite Australians.
Oh, good stuff, Big Mal.
Maybe the only Australians that like me.
Oh, no.
You've had a tough run, Big Mal, since getting into the job. You've only got 35% of the primary vote. Sackings, you got hung up by Trumpy. Now Corey Bernardi, what's he doing? He's defected.
Corey's gone, and he's started the Australian Conservatives. Corey's Conservatives. Maybe you could call them Corey's Commandos or Corey's Kooks. I could think of another couple of alliterations that start with C too.
Yeah.
Corey. Now, I mean, this is a guy that thinks that women are the devil's work, and homosexuals should be burnt at the stake. I mean, really, Corey's idea of a good time, Mr. High Pant, I call him, is putting a cheesel on each finger. That's what he thinks a party is. He's a real solo man, if you get my drift.
Yeah, for sure. Right. Now, what are you going to do?
Well, what am I going to do? What I'm going to do is what I've been doing for the last 18 months. And that is absolutely nothing. I'm going to sit on my hands and just wait for them to come for me. Because I reckon I've got about 6 weeks left in this job.
Yeah, right. It's a few people.
It's quite exciting times, really.
Yeah.
You'll need eyes in the back of your head, really.
I don't think they're just going to stick the knives in the back.
Yeah.
I think they're going to stick them in my neck and front. It's going to be a real kicking in the end. But... I mean, Christopher Payne will probably be Prime Minister by June.
Oh, God.
And then the Americans will invade us.
Hey, what are you and Lucy up to tonight? I've heard a little rumour something's going on.
Well, I like to put on the apron, hug the chef, and I'll be cooking a little passata with a nice pappardelle.
Oh,
ragu. And then we'll be settling down in front of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. I mean, what revelations. Zipporah Malka. She hates bras, that's clear, and hasn't had a shag for 6 years. Chris Brown was a little fat kid, and Dane Swan doesn't know who the Prime Minister is.
Oh,
did you hear that?
Come
I mean,
on,
really and truly, those people from Collingwood. What kind of people are they? They're not quite the class of the people from Adelaide, are they?
Could you go in the jungle next year, Big Man? That might be after you get the sack, you might be able to go in there.
Absolutely, drop me in tomorrow. I think
you'd be
it'd
be a bug eater.
I'd prefer to have a bucket of maggots poured over my head than have to face the Liberal Party in the next couple of weeks. Before I go, though, I'd just like to say the Triple M rocks the good people of Hindmarsh.
What
a wonderful area it is, and a lovely square too. I've always enjoyed Hindmarsh Square.
Good on you, Big Mal.
See you, Big
good
Mal.
On you, guys.
There
great
he is.
Constituents and terrific guys.
The
good
number
you,
one man in Australia.
Triple M.
Roo, this man, he's the greatest in our lifetime. There's no doubt about that. And we're talking about cricket, of course, but what about his life?
Yeah,
there's so much to talk
about. I reckon
he's
the greatest on and off the field. And that's where the true champions go to another level.
Correct. We're talking about Warnie. Warnie, good morning.
G'day, Chris. G'day, Rui. How are you guys?
Very well. B-O-G, off the field as well. Warning. No doubt.
Thank you very much. Have you been hiding in my suitcase or something?
Three votes, Shane Warne.
I presume that's what most of the tour will be about, off-field Warnie, because when you're live on TV bowling your leg spinners, we can see exactly what's happening. There's no lies told there. What is it that has been untrue?
Well, look, I think one of the things is there's not one particular thing that I want to get out and set the record straight about. There's a combination of things. I think if you think back about the sportsmen we've had in this country, I don't think there's been too many sportsmen that have had to have a stage musical about them, maybe a telly movie. 12 or 13 of the last count I was about unauthorized biographies.
Yeah, that must annoy the hell out of you, that.
Yeah, it does, because they've had, you know, someone comes up and signs you, and you go, well, mate, it's got nothing to do with me. So then you have to sign it anyway, and it's got nothing to do with you. So to have 12 or 13 unauthorized biographies, there's been one or two that have been half decent, but the rest have been just not true. Yep. Not fully not true, but there's been some parts that have been exaggerated just to sell the books. And the musical was, you know, another thing, a stage musical. How many sports have had a musical about them? And now I'm possibly a telly movie. So as I said to my agent, James Erskine, I said, mate, what's the best vehicle you think for me to tell my story? Everyone else seems to be doing it, telling my story, and they haven't even lived it. I'm the only one that's lived it. That's right. So for me, it was an opportunity to set the record straight on many different things because, look, I've, along my journey of 25-odd years, it's been... I've been wonderful for starters. I'm very grateful for that life and thankful for it. But, you know, I've made a lot of mistakes along the way. I've had some great times along the way with a team environment, off the field, lots of those things. So I think I've got a pretty good story to tell. And some of those moments that have been great, some of the moments that have been really tough and not so great, it will be hard to talk about. But it's important that people know the 100% truth and the facts about what actually happened and what it was like to live through that.
Yep.
Like what people don't understand, they see this headline and you go, oh, he'll be okay, whatever, or silly boy or whatever. But it's actually quite hurtful for the people around you, your parents, your children. Look, it's part of our job as dads to embarrass our children, but probably my kids have been unfortunately embarrassed a bit more than other kids. But I'm very lucky that I've got a great relationship with my children, and being a single dad is really cool with my kids. I love being a father. So along those journeys and some of the people it's affected in a good way, bad way, people might not quite understand.
So we're talking Warnie Uncut, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Now it's live on stage throughout April and May. Warnie, when you were a kid, I guess we've read that, you know, you dreamt of playing footy for St Kilda. You must have dreamt of being a test cricketer, which you got to live out that dream. But what about playing the Sydney Opera House? This is amazing. Shane Warne on stage at the Opera House. It's incredible.
Yeah, look, it's, you know, when my agent James came past and said, these are the places you play, we're going to open up at Sydney at the Opera House. I was like, well, I always dreamt that maybe looking at the Opera House, I would have had a balaclava on stealing something from the Opera House. I didn't realise I'd actually be up there trying to entertain a few thousand people at the Opera House. But look, that's an iconic way to open the show. It's an amazing place, Sydney, to get up there and visit. It's looking forward to opening up at the Opera House.
So you're going to get interviewed. You'll take questions from the floor as well. Warnie, is this out of work?
Yeah, we're still trying to work out the exact concept of what people want. You know, we're asking all the listeners on some of the radio, so maybe you could ask your listeners about what they would like to ask me or what they would like to hear about, which will actually help us as well. But at this stage, it'll be basically, we're going to ask at some stage through the show, there will be a Q&A, so anyone in the crowd can ask anything they want. There'll be nothing off limits.
Yep.
They might not like my answer, but there'll be nothing off limits. And I'm going to be, look, I'll be 100% truthful through the whole show. I'll be open as I've always been. Yep. I've never pretended to be anything I'm not.
Someone ask, how did you get your middle name, Keith?
Warnie. That's my father's name.
Your father's name, okay, yes. No worries.
That's same fine. As my son is Jackson Shane Warne, which is after
that's good.
His father. Well, yes, after his father, yes.
What do you mean? There's not any doubt in that. Warnie, I do wonder, when you mentioned your kids, but for you, the lifestyle you've led, when you go home to Melbourne and say you're in the backyard with mum and dad having a barbecue and your kids are around, I mean, have you been able to lead a normal life at all over the last 20 years?
Look, I'm a normal person. You know, I have feelings and all those sorts of things too, like everybody else. And look, I'm just very, as I said before, I'm very, very lucky to have lived the life I have. But I lead a normal life. And when I'm with my kids and things like that, you know, last night I took my youngest daughter out to my local Italian restaurant. We wore tracksuit pants and thongs and just had a bowl of pasta and had a chat with her about how the new start of school is and all those sorts of things. Yep. And You know, we have a barbecue with friends over. Some of those people that might be involved in a barbecue might be, you know, in the entertainment industry, and good people go, wow, are you having lunch with those guys? But I'm lucky enough to know it might be like Chris Martin, who was here recently.
Yeah, you had Coldplay around, yeah.
He's a great friend. So people might look at that and go, wow, you've had Coldplay at your house with your kids and had a barbecue. And yes, we did, but it doesn't mean, you know, the conversations I have with Chris that I've known for 17 years is just how's school? You know, what do you know, just basic normal conversation that anyone else would have in their household.
Mm.
And that's why I'm saying I'm very grateful and lucky for those opportunities, and my children are very lucky and grateful for those, to meet those sort of guys. But you know, there's a lot of downside that comes with it too. But I promise you, in our household, you know, it's like clean your rooms up, all the other things that parents do, making lunches for the school runs is a nightmare, all that sort of stuff. You can't get a car park. Like, how about they build some car parks at pickup and those sorts of things? Making lunches, your kids ring you 10 minutes after drop off and say, Dad, I've forgotten my iPad. You've got to run down to school and all those sorts of things. So, look, I do all those things, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
Warnie, fantastic to talk to you, and this is going to be brilliant. Warnie Uncut, it's the whole truth, nothing but the truth. It will be fascinating. Live on stage, touring nationally throughout April and May. Warnie, thanks so much for talking to us.
Hey, thanks very much for having us on. I've always loved coming to Adelaide and look forward to seeing you at the show.
Good on you, Warnie.
Cheers, guys.
Has your credit card had its way with every FPOS machine in and out of town over the holidays?
Spent a fair bit of money.
Good news. Triple M can get you back in the black.
Thanks, guys. Much appreciated.
Drop off your bills now at triplem.com.au so we can sort them for you. Any bill, any amount.
That'll solve a lot of problems.
We pay more bills today at 8, 10, 12 and 2. Triple M's back in the black.
Oh, it looks hot out there, Dits.
She's going to be
hot.
And for the next few days. I think they're saying 41 today, is that right?
Yeah, a couple of days over 40.
What's the hottest you've ever been? Have you ever been, what's the hottest? Because you've been up hot. Bakery and up your way. Hot,
yeah.
What's the hottest temperature you can remember?
Dits, I reckon a couple of years ago, over New Year's, we were up at Walker Flat, and I reckon we had about 10 days in a row over 40. And at that stage, we hadn't grassed around the shacks up there, so it was dirt, and it was hot, and it was dusty, and it was nearly unbearable. Mm. And we didn't even have air conditioners on the shacks then either.
Oh, no.
No, and we just powered on through. You'd get the kids inside from about, you know, 2 till 5 or, you know, that sort of time, movie time, sleep time. And it was, she was real hot. That was one. And the second one I had, we had New Year's at Port Augusta. I reckon it was probably 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And gets hot in Port Augusta because when you get a northerly from coming down from the desert and Alice Springs and all that, it really gets real hot. And exactly what you want on New Year's Day after you've had a big night is a power blackout.
Nice.
Yeah, so no power, no air conditioning. We've all woken up with no power, sweating like dogs, and no power. And anyway, we went for a drive in Port Augusta. They have it's like a scoreboard, but they have the temperature on it.
Yeah.
51 degrees.
What?
I took a photo of it.
51?
51 ad on the... On
You're the, kidding.
No, it was 51 degrees, and... Yeah, so that was the hottest I've had.
Gee, I can't top that. We drove back through country Victoria a couple of years ago, and in fact, there were bad bushfires. It was the year that I think the Horsham Golf Club got burnt down and it was very scary. But on the car gauge, it said 47, and I'd never seen anything as high as that. 47.
That's hot.
Unbelievable.
That is hot.
That is warm. Mel the Button Pusher, can you top 51 or 47?
What?
You can.
I can.
No.
I visited my big brother a few years ago. He lived in the United Arab Emirates, saw him in Abu Dhabi, and cracked 52.
Yeah. Oh, you're kidding.
Come on. What is it like at 52 in Abu Dhabi?
You just wilt. The second you get out of the car or the air-conditioned flat or the air-conditioned shopping centre, you just hit it like a wall and slump.
But not even allowed a drink there, are you?
No. Well, you can you if can you go inside, to the right places. Yeah, yeah. But
you'll do 10 years, but you can have a drink.
The vice and virtue police will come for you. But
that's right.
And the ladies over there, have they got the full burqa on and everything?
Yep. So I was still in my singlet, though.
Yeah. So 52 in the shade and 58 in the burqa.
You buy a six-pack and, you know, it's a public stoning, but it's worth it when it's 52. Yeah. Can you top that, Eric? 133353, where's the hottest you've been?
What about up in Maree for the next 4 days?
Oh,
it'll be 45, 46 for 4 days.
Moomba, I saw on the news last night, I think their coolest day this week is going to be 45.
Beautiful.
That's what they say out there. They sit around the fire to cool off. That's how hot it gets.
That'd be good working up
133353, can you top 52 or how hot have you been? Where have you been? 133353, love to hear your story.
104.7 Triple M.
41 degrees in Adelaide today. Can you top that? Well, obviously we can, but what's the hottest you've ever been? Where have you said 51 in Port Augusta.
Yep.
Mel said
beautiful
52
day
in Abu Dhabi. Unbelievable. Can you top that? 133353.
Let's go down to Semaphore. G'day, Brett.
Hey, how you going, guys?
Good, Brett.
How hot have you been?
Dits, I used to whip you on the squash court until you were 11. Oh. So I
don't know who I am. Yeah, how are you, mate? All right.
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, Agra in India, 1980, 52, one swimming pool. We just stayed there with our head out of the water, and I think we drank it dry.
Good work, Brett.
52 in Agra, right?
Wouldn't have been many people in the pool either.
Good
Let's
on
go
you,
to Gervois. G'day, Phil.
How you going, mate?
Good, Phil. The hottest you've been?
53 degrees on a clutching trailer up near Barra.
Oh, crutching sheep.
Yep, clutching sheep.
So in a shearing shed?
No, on a clutching trailer outside.
Outside.
Oh.
Few flies around?
Hey?
Few flies around?
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah.
Earning your money that day, Phil.
Oh, shit, yeah.
Yeah, good work. Let's go to Clearview. G'day, Dylan.
Hey, guys. How you going?
Good. Yes. What's your highest temperature?
I used to be a bulldozer driver in Blackwater in the pit. You'd see about 54 nearly every day in summer.
What do you mean, Blackwater?
Up in Queensland, in the coal pit.
Oh.
So when you hit everything with the bulldozer, 54 easily.
54, you've got to be kidding.
G'day, Glenn.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Good. What's your hottest?
55 degrees at
Oodnadatta.
Oodnadatta.
Great
it's
name.
One of those places where I reckon it's just dust, isn't it? When it's hot like that, there's just nowhere to hide.
There's absolutely nothing, especially on the roof of the school.
Oh, what were you doing up there?
I was a fridgey back in the day, working for the government, doing air conditioning. Oh. It was so hot out, you couldn't pick up your tools. You had to stand the spanners up. We couldn't have a shower because the above water tanks were that hot. We had to wait 3 days for a shower to get the Cooper Petey. It was stinking.
Actually, I've told you this before, Roo, but years ago we were in a heat wave and I was getting air conditioning installed and I've come home and all the lads are in my pool. I said, hey, what's going on? They said, oh, it's too hot. And the poor blokes had to get up in the roof and they just said that.
Nah, you'd let them have a swim after they'd put the air on and probably give them a beer.
How about the air conditioning? Nah, mate, it's too hot.
Too hot. Yeah, don't mind the pool, though. Let's go to Modbury North. G'day, Mark.
Hello, Ruan.
Very, very well. What's your hottest temperature you've experienced?
55 degrees. We had 2 weeks of about above 45 and 55 out of Maralinga. We're doing a clean-up out there in 98. Yeah.
What sort of clean-up?
We're doing a clean-up with all the contamination up there.
Right, okay. Yeah. So you probably had suits on, did you?
Yeah. We had suit done all right. Yeah.
Gee whiz.
55. Yeah, we had 4 days of it.
Oh, that's incredible. That's unbearable.
It is. Let's go to Lewiston. G'day, Paul. Can you beat 55?
What? 55? Well, currently did 50, 55 up in Moomba in the summer back in a few years ago, but we're wearing full heat suit working in the kiln room, which comes up to around about 103.
Oh, what?
What do you have to do to protect yourself when you're in like a room like that and it's 103? How do you survive? Seriously.
Well, basically, when they say look after your workmates, it's exactly what you do. You're dehydrated, you keep looking after your mates, keep drinking, keep stopping every few minutes. You know, at the end of the day, look after your workmates in that type of heat. And people don't understand what that really means until they've experienced it.
You'd have to prehydrate all night. Like, after your shift, you wouldn't be able to get on the beers or anything, would you?
Nah, you wouldn't even know you had it, really. It's sort of in and out in about a second, so you can drink a few more if you had to.
Do you lose much weight if you're doing it for, like, a couple of weeks at a time or a week at a time?
Yep, you certainly do. You come back a different person. So you eat up things before you go.
Right, where do I sign up?
Good on you, Paul. Thanks for your call. Let's go to Hillbank. John, can you beat 55?
I reckon I'd get close to it. I'll be working a metre and a half away from 450 tonnes of molten glass.
Where's that?
Out at the Barossa.
All right. At what's
Aurora.
What do they do out there? What do you make out there?
They make a whole bunch of beer bottles and all sorts of stuff.
Bottling plant.
Yeah.
All right. So very, very hot job by the sound.
450
degrees. Right, last call. Let's go to Ross Trevor. Hello, Craig.
Hey, guys, my hottest was 65 degrees for about a month.
Oh, come on. 65?
I didn't think that happened on the planet.
In the Saudi desert, guys.
Saudi desert.
Yep.
What happens in the Saudi desert? What are you doing out there for a month?
I was teaching the Arabic people how to defence drive in the sand dunes and stuff like that so they wouldn't get bogged and working on the rigs with them.
Oh, right. How did you know how to do that?
We had all temperature gauges around the shacks and everything for health reasons, for water and stuff like that. It was pretty hot.
Mate, that's amazing.
In the night time, we were building fires to keep warm because it got that cold.
Really? That much of a temperature swing?
Yeah, it went down to about 20, 25 degrees at night. We were freezing. We had to build fires to keep warm.
Wow.
Amazing.
Tough job.
All right. Some good calls there. Some good stories.
A bit different. Yeah. So 41's not that bad.
Nah.
Don't whinge today.
It'll be a bit chilly.
Ruin Tits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
What about this program that's coming up on Channel 7, Murder Uncovered?
Yeah, look, it looks a bit deep and dark and grisly, doesn't it? But yeah. A lot of people love that, and I'm one of them. So I'll be glued into this for
All right, tonight it is on 7 at 9 o'clock. One of the stories, one of the gripping stories we're going to hear from now, there was a couple, there's actually a couple married to each other that were serial killers. An amazing story. And a young girl, Kate, was about to be their fifth victim.
They drive me home, pulled up outside my house. I went to get out of the car. There was no door handle. I said, I can't open the door. They said, use the window handle. And I went for the window handle and there was no window handle. And it must have been he grabbed me, put my head between the two front seats, pulled a butcher's knife from his UGG boot and put it at my throat. And I pretty much swallowed my tongue.
How bad is that?
Far out. So they just tortured her with the handle and the window.
Michael Usher is presenting this and he joins us now. Michael, good morning. Gee, just that that one grab alone is just gripping stuff.
Like you said, deep and dark and gritty it is. The series is. But that's what they got me across. I needed the deep and dark and gritty guy to do it. So look, your reaction to her interview, though, is like a lot of us. And for a lot of the interviews we've done for the entire series, you sit there. I did one again the other day with a suspect in a murder, and you're left in silence. You sit there and you're listening to their story, and I sort of butted straight in and said, "Hang on, I've got to ask you, did you kill this person?" And then they start telling these stories, like Kate. She is ridiculously strong, that woman. Mm-hmm. Now she's never spoken to the degree that she's spoken to us before, because you'd imagine most of her adult life has been spent dealing with the trauma of having survived this husband and wife serial killing team. What David and Catherine Burney did pure evil. But thanks to someone like Kate, and this is what I've loved about working on the series, you just get a different insight into it all, and you realise you're still dealing with humans and there's a whole lot of humanity here. The humanity that these evil people have taken away, these murderers and serial killers and all the crimes we're looking at, is matched by really good, decent humanity of great Australians who've survived things like this. And great Australians like the detectives and the cops and the forensic experts who still live and breathe these cases. We've spent a year working on this behind the scenes, and we've had to go to some dark places to get the detail and the fresh evidence and the archive material and bits that haven't been seen before. But those people in those professions, they mentally have to go to really dark corners to catch the killers. Mm. They've got to understand how they work. And I have huge admiration for that. And that's just why the crimes are shocking. Some you've heard about, some you haven't. But when you start talking to the real people in these cases and do the interviews, I think for one of them I've done about 30 hours of interviews on one story alone, you're just left gobsmacked about how people can act the way they do. You're inspired by the way they survive too.
One of the real people I think you speak to is the serial killer's son. Mm. What sort of kid is he?
Well, you can imagine he's been messed up for most of his adult life. I mean, imagine going through your life going, hey, where's your mum? Oh, no, she's in jail. She's a serial killer. I mean, how do you reconcile that in your life? And I reckon we often talk about the four women that the Bernies, well, in our series we do anyway, not in daily life, but the four women that the Bernies killed, Kate Moyer, who survived, who for all purposes should have been in the shallow grave with the other four young girls. But he's the forgotten victim. I mean, he despises his mother. He's never spoken before. And what the clincher in this one, and on every single story that we've done in the series, there's something new. There's some evidence we found or a hook on it that hasn't been revealed or we're shining a spotlight on it. In this one, particularly, there's a couple, but one of the main ones is Catherine Burney murdered, did terrible things to these four young women, you know, put them in their graves. She's eligible for parole this year.
What? How many years has she been inside?
Go for not long enough, 30 years, but, you know, but come on, four young women.
That's,
you know, you imagine the impact on all of those families, the impact on Kate Moyer, who lives in fear this year, which is why she's spoken to us, that her life is going to be threatened again because of Catherine Burney getting out. Her mental, you know, state is terrible.
She'll never get out, no.
Of that,
no.
Ever. Ever.
All right,
ever.
Fascinating stuff, Michael. We'll be glued to this tonight. It's on Channel 7, Murder Uncovered, premieres tonight from 9 p.m. And this is going to be a winner, this series. Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
No, good on you, gents. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Michael. Michael Usher. Yeah. Roo, wow. I'll definitely be tuning into this.
How can someone like that get out? I don't care if they're on 30 or 40. They're not going to recover. They're queer.
Crazy.
Ruined Dits for Breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
7:42, it's Ruined Dits for Breakfast, all thanks to the Hospital Research Home Lottery. Some lucky person out there, Roo. It's all sold out, but they're going to win a Scott Salisbury home, 250 grand cash.
And a Porsche Macan.
Gee whiz.
1.8 million.
But you can be a member, all right? Join now. So next year, they'll send you your tickets. You won't miss out, all right?
I won't have to do that.
Now, you are a person, I've mentioned this many times, you live on your phone.
No,
your
I've
whole
cut
life.
Back. You'd be surprised I've cut back.
On.
No, I have.
You are joined at the hip, or joined at the ear.
No, cut
phone.
Back, cut back. Yep.
Because have you cut back?
I don't answer it half the time.
I've noticed when I call. Yeah.
Exactly,
you're right.
Yeah.
Now, a study has found.
Well, you're the one who told me off.
Yeah.
Can't have your cake and eat it, dudes.
Right. Now, a study has found that 10% of Australians check their phone during sex.
Really?
Yeah. Now, are you in that category?
Well, you've got to make sure you got the right angle when you're recording.
Oh, <rude.
laughs> don't you? No, only joking.
How can you get on your phone during sex?
Yeah, well, that's when you need to cut back your phone use, isn't it?
Mm.
Definitely.
Mm.
Well, that's interesting.
I would have thought it would be a bit deflating if I looked down and my lovely's on the phone going...
Just checking her emails.
Yeah, go, mum, how you going? Yeah, good. What are you up to at the moment? Oh, I can't really tell you, but anyway.
I'll get back to you.
Nice chatting to you, mum.
In 30 seconds.
No worries. 70% of people surveyed have embarrassing information on their phone or incriminating information. Now, when you think about it, we store just about everything on our phones, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely. I think 70 is very believable. Could even be higher than that, really. I think most people have, one or two things, maybe
funnily,
some photos.
It actually does remind me of a story. I was talking to a mate of mine recently, and I said to him, do you talk to your wife during sex? And he did say to me, only if there's a phone handy. let's move on from this stupidity, shall we?
Ruined Dits for Breakfast on 104.7 Triple M.
Roo, looking at the front page of the Advertiser today, and we saw on the weekend, beautiful story for Erin Phillips and her family, and we spoke to Greg Phillips, I think, yesterday or the day before.
Yep.
So she and her partner, Tracy Gahan, I think her name is, have had twins. Now, without being silly about this at all, but obviously this morning all of us were sitting around saying, I wonder how that happens or how does it work?
Yep.
How do you go about it?
Yep.
And we know that there are male gay couples in this world that have children now as well.
Absolutely.
How do they do it?
Yep.
And I know a straight lady who's never been married, and fair to say, I guess the best way to explain it is she was unlucky in love, didn't have a partner or a life partner, and she desperately wanted children. So this friend of mine, she's had twins as well without a man.
Yep.
How does that all happen? How does it unfold?
What are you saying? Is she going find a sperm donor?
Well, she must have. And that's what we're about to find out because it is intriguing, isn't it?
Well, it's interesting. Yeah, absolutely.
Hamish Hamilton is the GM at ReproMed, and they are specialists in fertility and these sorts of things. And I'm hoping he can answer our questions. Hamish, good morning.
Good morning.
So,
good morning, Mark.
Two ladies, like Erin and her partner, Tracy, decide they want to have children. How do they go about it? What are the steps involved?
Yeah, look, it's just wonderful that we live in a day and age and where these technologies can
can assist couples to actually realise the dream of having a baby. And without referring to any specific people in particular, it's made possible by having sperm donors and egg donors that very kindly donate their eggs and sperm to friends or anonymously to enable them to have children.
So when someone comes in there, can they say, have they got any choice on what type of sperm donor they get? Can they say, look, I want a tall, you know, someone with a tall background or a sporty background or a high intellect? Yeah. Or do you just get one out of the, you know, raffle?
No, they people will come in and they will definitely have a choice. Particular attributes like sport and those sorts of things don't come up on the list of
what categories attributes. Do you have then?
Yeah, so they'll get a background of the sperm donor, so they'll get general physical attributes and hair color and educational background as well, and medical histories and these important type details. So they'll have a choice. And which will enable them to find a best match for what they see in a partner and a child.
So whether it be the egg donor or the sperm donor, you've got a whole list of people that have donated over time, have you? They just volunteer it.
Absolutely, yeah. Legislation sort of restricts. You can't sort of purchase sperm off people, for example, or pay for it. You can recompense them for the cost of it, but people altruistically out of their own goodwill donate their sperm and eggs, not as commonly with eggs, but definitely with sperm. People will donate their sperm for single girls and couples to help them realize that dream of having a baby.
Absolutely. Do sperm donors find out down the track if their particular sperm has been used, and do they get a choice of where they find out, you know, who's used it?
Yeah, look, they have to agree to be able for the offspring to contact them down the track. So yeah, that's part of it's all designed in the best interests of the future child, and it's very important that someone born, conceived from the donor sperm is able to, when they're 18, seek out and contact the sperm donor. Absolutely.
What about when someone goes into the clinic? What sort of checks on the person take place to see that, they're worthy of having a sperm donor?
Absolutely. You mean the patient or the actual sperm donor?
No, itself? The patient.
Yeah. Yeah, look, there is quite a few, you know, you can't just walk in off the street and have IVF and have donor sperm. They have to, currently at the moment in SA, you still do have to have an infertility status, but there is legislation that's changing very shortly to enable that not to be a discriminating factor. Sure. But yeah, they have to have counselling, they have to be medically fit and you know, be able to undergo the procedures that are required for the IVF process.
Now, can I just ask you finally about the procedure?
Sure.
So the medical procedure for a woman is, I take it there's some sort of massive injection or something to reinsert the egg or the egg that's been fertilised back into the womb, or how does that work?
Yeah, look, it's there's two ways that you can conceive. One is by having IVF, so you'd have 2 weeks of daily injections of hormones, and then one of our clinicians will retrieve the eggs surgically and match them with the donor sperm, and then 5 days after that they transfer the embryo back into the uterus, and hopefully 50% of the time they get pregnant. And the other way is we can time exactly when ovulation happens with a mild stimulation, and then replace the sperm directly into the womb to conceive.
Yeah, right.
But the IVF process is has a high success rate.
Sure.
But it's more expensive.
Mm. Hamish, thanks so much for explaining it to us.
No worries, Mark.
Good on you. Hamish Hamilton is the general manager at Repromed. I think it's a very interesting topic.
It's very interesting.
We are in changing times, aren't we? No doubt about it.
Don't miss a minute of Ruined It's for Breakfast on the catch-up.
For the Hospital Research Home Lottery.
104.7 Triple M.